chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Let us hear the infallible, inerrant, sufficient, most necessary, and perspicuous Word of God. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, hear ye people, your God. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, Amen. So ends the reading of his sacred word to us. Once again, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless your word to us. It is the source of light and life for us by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, working through it and in us. So be with us and be present in a magnificent way in each and every one of us, we ask. Strengthen us for the day through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to focus in on verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There are some people today, and even in our midst, that think that no sin is worse than another, that every sin is more or less equal. And that, of course, is false. All sin is damning. There's not any sin that God accepts. And so any sin, whether in thought or word or deed, is damning. But there are some sins that aggravate more. The sins of a leader in a church, for example, a pastor or an elder, are more significant than somebody that's in the pew, though the sin is similar. Because of the several aggravations and attachments, there are the examples set and so on. It'd be better for you, said Jesus, to have a millstone placed around you and cast into the sea than lead one of these little ones of mine to sin. There certainly are sins worse than others. There's also, there is the belief out there, and even perhaps among us, that sin is not getting any worse, that there isn't an increase in sin. And, of course, that's folly, too. Again, all the sins basically have been around forever, and they have been, fundamentally there. There's nothing new under the sun, as they say, in that sense. But in terms of the frequency of them, the opportunity to be creative in sin and to add sin on top of sin, similar sin on top of sin, is clearly there's an increase. And I think that anyone who has lived as long as I have, and certainly longer still, some of you, realizes that the sins of today are greater in number and frequency than of yesterday. They were all there, but they're just more of them. And there are more people, so there's more sin that way, numerically, but there just seems to be an increase in terrible sins. That's what happens in a prosperous nation. It's not just prosperous nations, obviously, but the more prosperity you have without God, the more opportunity, the more temptation, and the more ability, if you will, to commit sins. And that's what's happening in our society, which is probably the wealthiest in the world and most prosperous nation in the world. There's a boast about that. Every day on the news, you hear how the prosperity economy is doing real well, better than it's ever done before, better in 100 years, better unemployment, and so on. In all the sectors, it seems to be really doing well. But it's also doing poorly in terms of sin. It's just all kinds of horrific sins being committed by and in the culture of our day and by many people in our day. And you can't turn on the news any given day without hearing murders from Baltimore or Chicago or, you know, the major cities and all the other things. The crime against police officers being shot and even put to death. Just recently another officer was killed. It's just prevalent. And it's terrible. Like I said, killings have always been around. There's more of them. And it's just like war has always been around. It's just more of it. And that has to do with what's being taught here. And Paul, in his day in Ephesus, this was a problem. The city was prosperous. The city was expanding. There was a lot of commerce, a lot of goings on there. Great minds of philosophers used to hang out there and talk about many things. And there was a lot of sin as well. And the sins that were prevalent, it's not an exhaustive list that's given here in Ephesians chapter 5, but it's a significant one. It's a well-rounded one. You have all behavioral sins that were prevalent in that society at that time in Paul's day, and you have tongues, sins of the tongue, word sins that are talked about, and in sets of three. So it's kind of It matches. It's easy to remember. In verse 3, for example, you have fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. And they're sort of linked together in terms of behavioral sins that were prevalent there. And then you have in verse 4, filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. See, sins of the tongue that were linked there. And again, this was in that society, a prosperous city, a great city at that time, but a great city, a sinning city. And likewise, we have a great nation, but it's also great in sin. And we people of God, need to recognize that, and in recognizing it, do something about it. And the thing that we're to do, according to what God says here, after all these sins have been mentioned, is instead, rather, give thanks. That's the solution. Give thanks to God. And it will set you apart from the culture that surrounds us at this time. And our loved one, especially our darling children. So I want to talk about one method of teaching, which I've spoken about before when I speak from Proverbs last time. Proverbs is a book of contrast. Well, here we have a contrast, a significant contrast to make between sin and thankfulness. Covetousness and thankfulness. That's the contrast. So I just want to talk a little. I want to unpack just a little of what Paul's saying in the time we have. And then I want to talk about that which becomes the saint, which is what he talks about here as well. It doesn't in verse 3. These things do not become you. And then finally, the third point I want to speak about, it's not to be even named among you. What's that talking about? Not to be mentioned. These kind of things are not to be mentioned. The things that they do, and that's in the context of chapter 5. So first, the contrast, and as I mentioned, it's a tool that God uses in both the Old Testament and the New, and it's throughout. It's that of contrasting the good and the bad, the right and the wrong or evil. You know, what is discerning and discernment, and what is not discernment. Contrast is a very useful way to educate and to teach. It's not the only, but it is an important way. And God uses it in both testaments to let us know what we are not to do and what we are to do. The put off, says Dr. Adams points out from Ephesians and other places, the put offs. But he doesn't say, just don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and leave you nothing to fill it with. No, put off these bad things, put on these good things. There's a substitute. And here is the same case. Put off fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Doesn't become you. And put on, rather, thanks. Thanksgiving. Right? I'm not going to get graphic with you about these words, what they mean. I think you know what they mean. I only want to say a word or two about each so that you, as older people, teach your children what these things mean. The reason why you should talk about this in terms of definitions and applications is because if you don't teach them, others will. Guaranteed, there's no escaping. If you don't teach your children and grandchildren, others will. So you need to talk about these things in the proper way. Fornication. Fornication, pornia, obviously covers pornography. What kinds of pornography? And it's not to be... it's not to be viewed. It's not to be... accepted. It's not to be rationalized away. We all know what it is. Like the old saying, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. Applies. It includes homosexuality. It includes transgenderism today. They didn't have that back in Paul's Ephesians, but they have it today. Added to the sin of pornea, right? And those are the kind of things that are condemned by God's word. Not to be accepted, they're not to be approved of, they're not to say, you know, you're such a sweet person if you're kind and gentle with all that and treat them equally the same. It is, you should be equal and be gentle with people and understanding, but you need to call it out as well. You can't be accepting of it, and that's what they want you to accept. In fact, if we Christians are considered evil people and hateful people who do not accept such sins, right? We are haters. We're certainly man haters. And that is simply, it sort of leads to the next sin, which is more broadly speaking, it kind of expands on pornea. Paul points to uncleanness. And basically, uncleanness means perversion here in this context. And it's talking about all the perverse things that people do. Yes, physically, sensuously, and all that, but other things as well. It just expands pornea, and it includes so much else as well, and all the perversities. And again, I cannot possibly, nor do I want to get graphic about the. I could start naming stuff, and I could start getting, into the juicy details. But I draw the line. Some things I will say, most things I will say from the Word of God, some things I just will not. And we're not to even talk in detail about these things and poison our minds and poison the minds of our young people. They already know perversity. Trust me. Your daughter, your son, knows perversity. 10 years old. 8 years old. They already know it. And then he adds this covetousness. Now, what's covetousness? You say, well, how does this kind of match up and link these into fornication and uncleanness? I understand the connection there. But covetousness is avarice, right? Avarice is a greedy desire for and pursuit of material things and also pleasure, right? So you covet someone. You covet this man. You covet this woman. You covet this experience. You want to have as much fun and party hardy and have as much pleasure as possible. Do you see the link now? Covetousness actually leads to fornication and uncleanness. The want and desire for material things and pleasure seeking. which is what our society is mad about, right? Seeking pleasure. Get as much of it as you can, especially when you're young, because when you're young, you're virile, you're strong, you have all things working properly at this point, and go for it, kid, go for it. Closely related is filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting. As I said, it's word, language, mainly that's being addressed here with these three. And you know what filthiness is? Obscenities, of course. Filthy kind of sewer language, you know. I give an example. It's not the only example. But it's cogent. I think most people realize rap music. I don't like rap music, just as a genre. I just don't like it. Although some rap music is good, and it's clever, and it's poetic, and it shows a lot of talent. So I'm not against all rap music, although it's not my cup of tea to listen to it. But there is also, it's noted for its vile language and treatment of women and authority. It's filthy in many of its lyrics, many songs. But that's not the only kind of music that's filthy. I'm just giving one example of it so you can, you know, get sort of an idea of what Paul means here when he says filthiness. That's filthy. Filthy music, filthy television, whatever it is, filthy. But filthy talk is what we're aiming at here, what Paul is aiming at. And foolish talking. You know, foolish talking, we have it in all over the place. Foolish, idiotic, stupid talk about marriage and about sex and about authority and about what to teach the kids, and Heather has two mommies, and all this nonsense and foolishness and folly. Talking from the teachers and from the politicians and from the elite of our land, thinking that they are good people who talk about these things and encourage such things. And then jesting is referring here in this context to coarse jesting, dirty jokes, and, you know, jokes at the expense of others in the, you know, sexual stuff and all that, sensuous stuff. That is just not part of a Christian's repertoire. We have instead being thankful, right? That's the cure to all this. That's what we are to be. Thankful. You know, thanksgiving and thankful people. Thankful to God for the prosperity that He has blessed our nation in and with. Thankful for the prosperity He has sent into the church that He has given to us as individuals in our homes. All the things that we have been given come from Him. Nothing outside of Him is possible. Everything comes from our God. Especially emphasizing the good things. Yes, the evils as well, the judgments upon the land, and the hurricanes and the disasters and the fires and all that comes from God too. Right? We were talking about that last time in talking about general providence and general sovereignty of God. If it doesn't come from God, if He's not sovereign over everything that happens, then who is? What is? Chance? Luck? Fate? The devil? No, of course not. God is sovereign over everything. But we're emphasizing now the good things, the prosperity, the blessings. And especially all the spiritual blessings that are yea and amen in Jesus Christ, right? They all come from God. The forgiveness of our sins, every one of us knows that she is a sinner. and that there's something necessary in order for me to get to heaven. I can't get to heaven because I'm basically a good person, because I'm not basically a good person. And even if I were basically a good person, I'm also evil. I'm also wicked. I also sin. How in the world is the perfect God with a perfect place going to let me in? No matter how young. How many sins of which I am aware? No way. But he's provided a way for us to get into heaven, to be in his presence forever and ever. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ, right? He's given us the grace of faith, right? It's not human faith. It's not human will. It's a gift. It's a grace. God gives us the gift of faith, and it's like an instrument, a tool by which he pours grace into our lives. And he enlivens us, and we become, oh, wow, all of a sudden I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I hear the sound of music coming from the scriptures, from the word of God. Yes, I believe. But that's of God too. He's given us the gift of repentance so that when we do discover that we sin and we confess our sin, he gives us the strength for the day and hope for the morrow to turn from that sin and not continue in that sin. And yes, we do go back and forth sometimes. Sometimes it takes a long time to repent. Like when people are hooked on alcohol or drugs. It's not a repentance, even if God gives them the grace of repentance. It's not something that they can turn from immediately. It takes a lot of time and work and help for people to repent of that life-dominating sin, if God chooses to give them grace to save them. But he gives us that kind of thing. And he gives us the grace to grow and expand in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to prepare us in this world for the next, from going from glory to glory, in everlasting life. All spiritual and material blessings are from God, and we ought to give him thanks. Every day, right? There's so many things, so many ways, so many times. You can give him thanks. Thanksgiving is not just at one day of the year or one season. Not for us, right? It's every single day throughout the year. Covetousness opposes that. If you're covetous, if you want what you want when you want it, you're greedy for gain, material gain, and pleasures, that then you can't be thankful. That's the solution. Is that according to the scriptures, the solution is thankfulness to God as opposed to covetousness. If you're covetous, then you cannot thank God. You want it for yourself. You cannot serve God. You want to serve yourself. And so the contrast, the major contrast here is between covetousness and thankfulness. Which is going to be? That's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? Because it says here, as become saints, right? It doesn't become a person, a Christian, to engage in this kind of behavior. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. It doesn't become you. And the reason it's out of place, and the reason why it's out of place is because you're a saint. What's a saint? A saint is a holy person. A person who is holy. What is a holy person? What does that mean? Separated. A person that's separated.
Separated by from what? By whom? Separated from this world. From the world that engages in this sinful practice. Separated from that by God. God is the one that has separated you from that. And has given you the power. Sin has been, it no longer dominates, as Paul says in Romans. It doesn't dominate your life. It doesn't take over your life anymore. You fight against the sin that is trying to intrude upon your life and the life of your loved ones. And instead, you put on holiness and righteousness and godliness because God has given you over to such things. He's renewed your life in the image of His dear Son so that more and more you want to go in that direction. And so it is unbecoming for a saint, a holy person of God, a separated one, separated from the rest, to serve God and to live for Him and to talk about Him and to give thanksgiving to Him on a daily basis for all the good things that are in her life. It's so fitting for us as saints. It becomes us to be thankful, always thankful. To God goes the glory. For everything. I take credit for nothing in my life that I have accomplished. Not I, but the Lord working through me, right? As Paul says. Not I, but Christ in me. And I know that I am prone, and many of us are, to get that little pat on the back, to get that little glory, to get some credit for something. Especially when we do what we consider magnificent, wonderful things, and other people are saying so. Pastor, you're such a worthy man. Not really. Christ is the worthy one in my life. If there's anything worthwhile in my life, if there's anything good in my life, if there's anything wonderful, it all goes to God and Christ. And I mean that, sincerely mean that, except when, we are like that. It doesn't become me to boast about my accomplishments and the good things in my life and the blessings and all. Does it? It's not becoming of a saint. What becomes a saint is being thankful to God and being useful to Him in His name, doing all things in His name. Now it says here too, let it not be once named among us. What was he talking about? The bad things that these people do, right? The fornication, the uncleanness, the covetousness, the filthiness, the foolish talking, the jesting. Then it goes on to say the shameful things that they do in darkness. We're not to so much as name them among us. Now, what does that mean? Because obviously, he's naming them. The Bible just named them. The Bible names these kind of sins all over the place. What do you mean it's not to be named among us? Not to be mentioned among us. What's that? So obviously, it's not talking about what I have just been outlining for you. Of course it needs to be mentioned. But in what way? And that's the point. In what way are you mentioning these things? Are you mentioning them in the way that God wants you to mention them? For example, are you warning your children that they are to stay away from such things? And they are not to associate with those who are all about those things or a lot about them? You're not. You can witness to them the gospel. You can tell them the truth of Jesus. You can confront them, but you can't be part of it. you need to mention these things and define these things so as to warn them what is wrong from and establish what is right. It's wrong to talk about these things. It's wrong to be involved with people that are into these things. And it's right to be thankful to God and to serve Him and to want to glorify Him in everything you think, say, and do. That's right. That's wrong. So you ought to mention it in terms of warning your children, but also, like I'm doing here, warning you and myself, preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anyone else, warning us all to stay away from these things. Please stay away from these things. It's going to take you down. It's going to get in your way. There is going to be a consequence if you continue in this way. It's a warning. That's how we're to mention. How we're not to even talk about these things or mention these things is the whispers. Do you know what so-and-so did? Did you hear about that family in Covenant Church that was doing this or doing that? Did you see the in this article about this pastor and stuff? Talking about this pastor that went astray and was involved in some sort of sordid relationship of whatever. In other words, we're not to be establishing things as a topic of discussion and pass them on in terms of backbiting and gossip between one another and each other. They are not to be mentioned among you. You are not to be a people that are talking about these things and discussing them over the phone and getting the latest news and views and gossip. But rather, you are to be a thankful people to God. And you are to show forth the praise of Him with whom you have to do in word and also in deed every single day. Yes, the discipline of the church needs to take care of certain things when it comes to, you know, public attention and all that. But we're not to go around talking about each other in these negative ways, painting these negative pictures, so that we begin to not only hate these people and dislike these people and not give them a chance to repent, but also teach our children. And other people. To despise. That's what he's talking about. It's not to be named. It doesn't become you. To be a gossip or a backbiter. Passing on. Whispering about this. But rather, strive. Always strive. And it is strife. It isn't easy. Strive to be a thankful people. And this is a great holiday, isn't it? It reminds us. We're looking forward to this week to gather with family and friends, not to gossip about others, but to be thankful before God. And to pass on, to share with others. Right? The churches are getting together in our community and they're sharing with people that are shut-ins and don't have family or, you know, they've lost loved ones and they just like to get together and have a Thanksgiving meal and reminisce and remember about, you know, the good times and the traditions. You know, talk about good things. That's what we want to be, the kind of people that give ourselves over to that kind of thing. Rather than all this filth and selfishness and pleasure seeking. Dear people, pass it on to your children and your grandchildren. And show them, of course, show them first, always first, by way of example. Right? Don't be the kind of person to do as I say, not as I do. No, no. Follow my example. Do as I do. Speak as I speak. Glory to God in Jesus Christ. Thankful, always thankful. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus,
leading us, yes, we pray, leading us in the everlasting way for your great name's sake. That is our desire as a church, as a people of God here at Calvary. And we have been doing it, but we falter. We're not always on the same page as our God, but we want to be. That is our desire, that we would get better and better, stronger and stronger, more glorious for thee. Take us and shape us and mold us into the image of thy dear Son more and more. We ask, we pray, we gather together, and we say, this is of one mind, Lord, that it's all the glory goes to God in Jesus Christ, in whose name we say these things and pray these things. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 715. Hymn 715. And let's rise up to sing this hymn, 715.